Okay, so we're up to Perek Mem Aleph. And we don't really need pictures that much for the next day until we get to the doors. Okay, there are these psukim discuss really the kalim and the pictures, the images on the thing. We'll see. Let's see. Give me one moment to turn to the correct page. Okay. We're up to, let's review pasuk. Really, the little pasuk tesvav. We did it, but we didn't do it. It's pasuk tesvav and pasuk tesayin. They go together. So let's just we'll review it just for the sake of getting back into the swing of things. Okay, so pasuk tesvav says moda the malach measured orech habinyan al pnei hagizra asher al achareha. The malach measured the length of the binyan. Now we learned the binyan is the upper portion, and the gizra. Give me one moment. I'm getting. Let me turn to the page before I make mistakes. The binyan is the lower portion. Look at picture number two. If you have picture number two, if you don't have the pictures, there are handouts over here. But it's we don't even have it. Okay, it doesn't really. It's not really important. The handouts. So you call from memory that the lower portion is called the binyan, and the upper portion is called the gizra, and there are three parts to the structure. There is the lower portion which has the toin, the chambers, the 33 chambers, the upper portion, the main portion which contains the heichal and the kodesh hakodashim, and the very front extends out 15 amos on each side, which is what's called the beis hachalifos. The place where they stored the knives. So it says here that they measured the binyan, orech habinyan. The binyan is the lower portion of the structure, which has the chambers, the 33 chambers, el pnei hagizra, all the way to which the binyan is el pnei hagizra, which is in front. It surrounds the gizra. The gizra is the upper portion. Asher al achareha, all the way to the end, all the way to the extreme end, from one end to the other end, which means here the front. Okay, we'll see in the mafarsh in one moment, and then it says here va'atikeha. Atikeha means the corners, as we learned in Rashi, mipo umipo, on the left side and on the right side, me'ama. Okay, that's really where the pasuk ends, and this entire structure from beginning to end, from the back all the way to the very front, including the corners, was exactly 100 amos in length, like we learned before Yom Tif. If you would max out all of the extreme parts of the structure, it would be a cube of 100 amos by 100 amos by 100 amos in height. From end to end, including all the various components, was 100 amos. From end to end in the front, the Beis HaChalifos from the front was 100 amos, and the height we assume was 100 amos, like it says in the Mishnayos Masechta Midos. So if we max out all extreme dimensions, it's 100 amos. Okay, now let's maybe just run through. We're going to make believe the pasuk stops here. Okay, we're going to violate all the rules of pasuk with pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu. Anan loy paskinon, even though who said that he said that when it comes to Nach, right? So we're gonna make believe the pasuk stops here, mea ama, and the next words vahahechol is really the beginning of the next pasuk. Okay, let's see the mitzudos. Just run through it very quickly. Pasuk tezvav in the mitzudos. Modad arech habinyan. Ata now, modad arech hatzalaos. The malach is mentioning is measuring the chambers that is on the southern side. Asher al achareha. What do those words mean? The Mitzuda says, Asher chozar al akevo loleches loachor klape marav. So the word asher al achareha means we're going to start with the west. We're going to go to the back, behind the Kodesh HaKodashim, that's the west. When we go to the Kodesh HaMaravi, we would be able to look inside, we would be facing the back of the Kodesh HaKodashim. Ki mitchil, the previous psukim, more that the Malach measured past HaMarav, the west. The Acharkach, in other words, he measured the width. He measured the width of the west. And then he went in the north. And then he measured the east. And now he's going along the south. So he's making a full cycle. So he's going clockwise. He started measuring the width of the west. And then he measured the length of the north. And then he measured the width of the east. And now he's going from the east all the way back to the west along the length. So he has basically gone in the clock. He's gone clockwise. Okay, and now he says, and it says over here, Modan is measuring of Klapasadarim, Vatikeha. Ruratikeha means the corners. Modan is at Tzalaos Imrecha Besachalifos. He measured the Tzalaos, the sides. The sides with the width of the Beis HaChalifos, and what was in between the two corners, the Tzalaos, and the Beis HaChalifos. Again, that means the span in where the door is on the east side with the extension of the corners is what was 100 amos. And I guess he means we're going all the way down to the west. It's 100 amos. Rashi pasuk tezvav tezayin. Now we're going along the south. He's now facing the direction towards the west. He's now focusing, he's facing the west, he's going from east to west. Va'ati keha, when we measure, we're also measuring the corners. Tirgim Yonasan Zavios, the corners, Kolomar, Imeshach Beis HaChalifos, Shebezavios Habayis, the length along the west of 100 Amos includes the extension of the corners in the Beis HaChalifos. Okay, so that pretty much ends the pasuk. Okay, so that concludes the measurement of this magnificent structure. Now we're going to start an entire new section, and we're going to describe the details. Once you put up the outside, the exterior, we have to now discuss exactly what it looked like inside. We're going to see there was paneling. Everything inside was covered with wood, and everything on top of the wood was plated gold, and the wood panels had embossed and embedded kruvim and palm trees. And the gold was laid on top of this wood that was either embossed or etched into the wood, the images of the kruvim and the palm trees, and everything was gold. And we're going to learn about the shulchan, the dimensions of the shulchan, the bayis shlishi. I always make that mistake, and I talk about. What's expected to be correct. Right. The bayis shlishi. Everything here is the bayis shlishi.
Right.
And what's very interesting is that we're going to describe the shulchan. The dimensions of the shulchan are not the same dimensions of the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu and the bayis rishon and the bayis sheni. In the bayis shlishi, the shulchan is going to be different. Not the mizbeach, but the shulchan. And the question is why. Obviously, it means that the form of Parnasa in the times of Mashiach is going to be different. And the Shulchan represents the Shefa of Parnasa that comes. No, the Chalas, I don't think the Chalas is taller. I think it's the width and the length is the same. But the height is double the height. Instead of it being an Amma and a half, it's going to be 3 Ammas. So okay, we'll see, we'll come to that. But right now we are going away from the basic. Until now we focus primarily on the outer structure, the architecture from the outside. Now we're going to the furnishings, the moldings, all of the decorations and furniture that is inside the structure. So first we mentioned, in the middle of this pasuk Tezvav, the pasuk for some reason is right in the middle of HaHeichol, with regard to the HaHeichol, HaHeichol, Heichol refers to the place where the menorah was, that the what we call the Kodesh, and where the menorah was, where the shulchan was, the mizbeach hazav, ha-penimi, we have to make believe there's a vav, ve-ha-penimi, the kodesh ha-kodoshim, ve-ulamei hechotzer, and the antechamber, the opening, the ulam, the area that leads into the heichal. All of these three things, pasuk tezayin, this all, we have to make it, it's all one pasuk. The pasuk, for whatever reason, it's not the way we're going to break up the pasuk is different than the way it appears in our sefer. All of these things had hasipim. When you entered into each one of these chambers, there were posts. There were beautiful wooden posts attached to the stone. The stone was just the basic structure of the entranceway, but to make the entranceway beautiful, they attached these beautiful beams, these beautiful wooden panels, v'hachaloinim, and each one of these three chambers had windows. The ulam had a window, the heichal had a window, and the kodesh kodoshim had a window. So we discussed this last week, but that's something very unique that you do not find in the bayis, in the Mishkan, the bayis rishon, the bayis sheni. You do not find any reference anywhere that there was a window in the Kodesh HaKodoshim and in the Heichol, but it clearly states over here that all of these three things had windows. Ha'atumois, the windows were atumois, which we learn either means that they were narrow on the inside and wide on the outside, because the wall was thick, it was a very thick wall, so it narrowed, it was on an angle. It was narrow on the inside, thick and wide on the outside, so to show that the light is coming from inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, inside the Heichel, and it's spreading out to the world. Or as the Mitzudo says, Atumos means it was opaque. No, I'm sorry, not opaque. It was transparent. It was clear. There was glass or some form of whatever they used. Maybe it was glass, whatever it was, to close the windows. Ve'ho Atikim. Atikim, we learned last week, look at the Torah, seeing the pictures of Atikim. Atikim means there were columns. You don't see them in this picture, but there were beams of wood, planks of wood that were attached to the wall, which gave the wall strength. Every so often, you would see along the stone wall, there was a very tall, thick beam anchored into the stone wall, which would give the stone wall strength. Saviv, on all around, lish lashdom, for each one of these three things. Neged hasaf. Okay, period. Now, let me put a period right there.
Now, a picture of that than the previous.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't find that picture today. I couldn't find that picture, whatever it is. Okay, whatever. We don't really need it. We can use our imagination. It's not too complicated. Neged hasaf. Then now the pasuk begins to elaborate in much more detail. With regard to the hasipim, we started off in the beginning of this pasuk, sipim, they were posts. Neged hasaf, right adjacent to the threshold of each one of these three entranceways, there was sechif, eitz, a plank of wood, saviv, on both sides. The unfinished walls were stone, thick stone walls, which were six amos wide, or five amos wide, I don't remember the exact details, and covering the edge of the stone were beautiful pieces of wood. That's called schif. Schif means a plank of eight. Saviv. V'ha'oretz ad ha'chaloinois. This wood went all the way up to the windows. V'ha'chaloinois michusos. And the chaloinois were covered. In other words, the molding, the windows, meaning not the windows were covered. That defeats the purpose of the window. It means the thickness of the window, the window, the wall is six amos wide. So the sill of the window and the sides of the window were covered with these planks of wood. Let's see the mafarshim inside pasuk tezayin in the mitzvah of it first. The pasuk says saviv. Let's go back to the word v'hayichol. It's really in the middle of pasuk tes vav. In the middle of pasuk tezav, the mitzvah says vahechol mechuberhu lamikra sholayacharav. This is a very unusual pasuk. How often do you have such a thing in Nach, where everyone is on the same page, and they tell us that basically the pasuk really begins here. That even though the pasuk in our tradition, the pasuk the soif pasuk is a few words later, yet for the purpose of understanding the pasuk, you have to make believe that the soif pasuk appears before the word va ha hechol, and now we're beginning the new pasuk. So mechubahu l'mikra shalacharav. These words here are part of the next pasuk. Loimar It's teaching us binyan hechel, the chain, the binyan of the hechel, which is the core we call the kodesh, the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbeach, the chain, binyan hapnimi. What is the pnimi? That refers to the kodesh hakodashim, who based kodesh hakodashim. And even though the psuk is not grammatically correct, because it should say the hapnimi, there's a vav missing in the pasuk. For whatever reason, it's missing. I don't know why. The chain, likewise, ula mehechotzer hapnimi, the chamber that leads into the before the Hechel, there is the Ulam, the Hechel, and the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's also obviously very difficult why we're going in this order. You should not say the Ulam, the Hechel, and the Kodesh HaKodashim. If you want to start with what's more holy, so say the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Hechel, and the Ulam. Why is the Pasuk arranging in this unique order? First, the Hechel, then the Kodesh HaKodashim, and then we go backwards to the Ulam. That's a little bit strange. K'mosha Amar, Ve'aleimoy Saviv Saviv, L'chol Elu, for each one of these three things, Hayu HaSipim. What are the Sipim? The next Pasuk, Pasuk to Zion, explains what, the next Pasuk tells us what the Sipim were. Pasuk, now we go further. Saviv L'shloshtam, L'chol Shaloshes HaBinyanim HaNizkon B'Mikra, each one of these three structures, and Shalafon of Hayim Mezuzos, as you entered into each one of these chambers, the Ulam, the Hechel, the Kodesh HaKodashim, there were door posts, V'chaloinois, and there were windows. What was the nature of the windows? They were atumos va'atikim. What does it mean atumos? Return to Laimar. Kulum hayu dumus v'tzur achas. They were all identical. The windows were all the same. If they had Anderson, they were all Anderson. If they were Pella windows, they were all Pella windows. If they were your replacement windows, they were all the same brand.
Pella seems appropriate.
They didn't get different brands, different. What do they call double hung? Single hung, whatever. They didn't get sliding. They were all the same.
Jealousy?
What?
Jealousy window?
Whatever. Whatever they are. They all were identical in each one of these three sections. The chulam hayu dimus vitsura achas. Okay, then in the parentheses he writes, v'atike ha-heichel ubeis kodesh ha-kodoshim hayu b'chalalei ha-tzula'os. The atike refers to the columns. Okay, the atikim are these very large columns that supported the walls. They were along the chalalei hatzlaos, the open space of the sides. Okay, whatever that means. The windows were very high up. Okay, you needed a pole to close the windows. They were very, very high up. Okay, next.
There were a second floor. Could have been the windows on the second floor.
Doesn't say. Look, this structure is very, very high. The height we know in the bias.
Your picture that you depicted way back.
Yeah, this picture.
Page 4.
No, I don't have page 4 in front of me. Or whatever it is, we don't know where the windows were. The height of the Kodesh was only where? Was only into height. We don't know what it was in the bias. It doesn't tell us what's going to be in the bias. If it was 20 amos, 30 amos, whatever it was, the height was, the windows were high up. Okay, next words of the Mitzudos are, they were covered neged hasaf. Okay, the pasuk now comes to elaborate. Al ha-mezuzah haya mechupa luach eitz eres. Okay, the word sechif is a new vocabulary word. Add to your collection. Sechif in the Mitzudos it tells them means inyan luach. It's good for this week's parasha. Right, does it say the word luach anywhere in the teva? Is there any word luach somewhere in the teva? No? Okay, whatever it says. Inyan luach v'chein tirgim yonasan yisirin de'arza.
Is there any word luach anywhere?
In Tanakh?
No, Tanakh, yes. But Nevuv luchos.
Nevuv luchos. But that's the luchos of that's a stone. Okay, whatever it is. It means sechif is a plank. Some type of, whatever, in luach, a board that is made from wood, and back to the Mitzudos David, al ha-mezuzah hoya mechupo luach eitz eretz, leman hiya noyach litza poisoy zahav. Along the doorpost was a board of wood in order to make it easy to plate it with gold, because gold does not connect well to stone. Stick to stone. Ki alo evan kosher litzapoy zahav. I'm sure today they have technology; they can do it, right? There's no doubt about it. But But I guess time chazal, the time, this whatever it says over here, when this is going to be in the Bayis Shlishi, that is why there was the wood was not for itself. It was just there as the means to connect the gold, to plate it with gold. Saviv, b'chol sivivos ha-mezuzah, on all sides of the post. Oh, there's always noise. I can't escape the noise. Saviv, b'chol sivivos ha-mezuzah, on all sides of the post. V'ha'aretz v'chem mikarka ha-bayis anachalonis, from the ground up until the windows. V'gam mimal ha-chalonis ha-yin mechusos b'luchi erez. It was also covered with boards of cedar. Okay, that's the pshat and the pasuk according to the mitzvot. Pretty straightforward. Let's see Rashi. Rashi back in the middle of pasuk tezvav. Rashi says vahehechol apnimi ulamei hechatzer. So Rashi says the same thing as the mitzvot. Soifah shal mikra zeh einoy musav klape roishay elam uchubal lemikra shalachav. This pasuk refers it should be connected to the next pasuk. The chain perusha, and this is the interpretation. There are three different rooms that we are discussing. Room number one is veha hechal. Room number two is vechein hapinimi. What is that? Shubes kochi akadoshim. Vechein room number three, alume hechatzer hamifaroshim l'mala. We learn in Perek Mem the entranceway. Vale mois, where it said there, vale mois saviv l'chol elu. Each one of these three chambers, hasipim v'hachalonim hoatumois hoatikim saviv l'shloshdam. So bein legizra. Now over here in my edition, I have a note that says there's a mistake. These two words bein legizra should be deleted. So he says the correct gizra should be start with it should be bein haheichol, bein laulamois, bein lebeis kodshei hakodoshim. Each one of these chambers, lishloshdan, for each one of these three, hayu hasipim lepischehem, there were posts for the entranceways. For lishloshdan, hayu chaloinos atumos. Each one of these chambers had windows that were atumos, which either means they were wide on one end and they were narrow on one end and wide on the other end. Ulishloshdan hayu atikim. And atikim, what are atikim? So we already told you the secret, it means there were columns that supported the wall. The Rashi over here does not know yet, lo yodati mahim, I do not know what they are. Rashi says, v'oimer ani, I suggest shehem kimin amudim mirubo'im, they were square pillars, bolten v'choyma l'chizuk, that extended out of the wall for strength, v'karin lohem, they're called in French, and you know what this means?
Pillars.
Okay, pillars balas. Neged hasaf sechif eitz, opposite the threshold, there was a plank of, there was a board of wood. Tirgim yonasan neser shel eres. Neged hasaf, neged mezuzos ha-pesach, b'sor chalei oivei ha-pesach. Chipa bo eitz, inside of the post, along the thickness of the wall, it was covered with wood, saviv, kolemar mizel mizel b'shnei tzidei hechal ha-pesach. On the two sides of the entranceway, there was wood, a board of wood, which covered the rough edge of stone. The oretz ad achalaynos, the karko is hachayma, the ground of the wall. Now he's translating over here the word is in a unique way. We never have such a translation. The word over here, ha'oretz, is being used to refer to the lower portion. How often do you ever have that? Tanakh, every time you have the word oretz, it refers to the soil, it refers to the earth.
Here we're talking about the floor. Yeah, but oretz ad achalaynos.
From the context, it refers from the lower portion into the higher portion. From ground level until the window is upper level. It's a very, very unique usage of the word. Aretz always refers to Eretz Yisrael. It refers to the earth, the soil. Here it refers to the lower portion. Is there a shortage of words in the Hebrew vocabulary to refer to the lower portion of the wall? The tachtis, the tachtoina. Why do we have to use the word Aretz? Yet, that is what it does. The lower portion of the wall.
Well, the problem is the foundation was below ground. So he's saying it only starts from the ground up.
That's where they are, only from the soil, the portion that's above the earth. But still, even so, alright, you're gonna. Alright, you want to say that only from the portion where it's above the soil. That's where it's played with Nisri Eres. Kinegdo, the oil of Lamala, ad hachalainos. The thickness of the windows was also plated with boards of wood. They were narrow on the inside. He says the same thing as the mitzvahs. They would plate the inside with gold, plates of gold. The entire inside of the bayis was plated with gold. And that's why we need the wood in order to allow a place for us to place the plates of gold.
Must have been dazzling during the daytime.
Because
every one of the walls was gold, the reflection of the sun.
But the sun didn't really get inside. It was a closed room. There was room, so we did not really get inside. Okay, so this concludes this pasuk. Okay, now let's go to pasuk Yizayin. Al-Ma'al, Pesach, Al-Abayis, Apnimi. Now we go into the next section. On top of the Pesach, the Ad Habayis Hapnimi, and until the inner Bayis V'lachutz. So the Al means from within, the Alavi means from within the entranceway, all the way until the Kodesh HaKodoshim V'lachutz. The El Kol Akir Saviv Saviv Bapnimi Uvachitzain Midos. There were Midos here means there were massive. Massive boards of wood covered and plated the entire inside. Let's see, Yudzayin the Mitzudos. Al me'al ha-pesach, al koisel, upon the wall, asher me'al ha-pesach, within the entranceway, the ad, habayis ha-pnimi, who based kodesh ha-kodoshim, v'lachutz hu ha-hechol, so we're going backwards. First we describe what it seems to be the Ulam. Then we describe the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Lachutz. Then we describe the Hechol, Hu Achutzulo, the Hechol, the Chol Akir, Bein the Pnimi, Bein who based Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bein Machitzen, Hu Hechol, HaKol Hoye Mechupe, Beluchos Eitz, Asuyos, Bemida Achas, in the same measurement. So he's learning over here, Mida, I told you, Rashi means very large. Midah here means the same exact size. Like you do a bathroom, so you have to know what size tiles you want. 12 by 24, 12 by 12, 16 by 16. So sometimes for the floor you have one size tile, for this wall you have a different size tile. The tiles, the planks of wood that were used to cover the walls were all of exactly the same size. There was no place inside of the Beis HaMikdash in the Kodesh, the Heichal, the Ulam, in the Kodesh HaKodashim, that was bare. Every single section inside of the Ulam, the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKodashim, was covered with wood. Because the entire inside was plated with gold, and gold cannot attach itself to stone, therefore we needed these planks of wood. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi Yudzayim al me'al ha-pesach, begoiva, al means in height, bi'ad habayis ha-pnimi, kol beis kodesh ha-kodoshim ad kuloi, the entire thing, v'luchutz, l'tzal heichol, so all means all the way up to the ceiling, in the kodesh ha-kodoshim, in the heichol, every single area, saviv, b'chol kisalov, b'aprim, v'achitzen, b'beis kodesh ha-kodoshim, b'heichol, midois, m'chubin, n'son, g'doilos, asuyus, b'mida. He learns over here that they're very large. He seems to imply the word "mamidas" is an expression which means that the boards that covered the inside walls were very, very large. Pasuk Yudches, the Asui. Now we go to a new topic. Very, very interesting. The walls had designs. The designs were kruvim, and in between the kruvim were palm trees. Now this is different than the Mishkan. Different than anything that we learned about in the base Hamikdash. In the base Hamikdash, when we learned about the designs, there were only kiruvim. There was no hefsek between one kruv and the next kruv. A new feature that will appear in the Bayis Shlishi, version 3, upgrade, is in between the kruvim will appear a palm tree. Obviously, this is Dvarim Ha'imdim Berumah Yishalolam. This represents a very great, deep, mystical concept. Why now the change in design, that in between the kruvim there should be a palm tree? But that's what it says. So let's see, Pasuk Yitches, Yasui kruvim, it was made kruvim v'timoyrim. Kruvim is the image of angels and palm trees. V'simoira, and the pasuk clearly explains there was a simoira, a palm tree, ben kruv likruv, ushnayim panim lakruv. Here is another feature. Each kruv has two faces. Whereas in the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, and the Mishkan, each kruv had only one face. So here we're doubling, each kruv has two faces, and there are two kruvim, so for a total of four faces, and in between one kruv and the next, there is a palm tree. Pasuk Yutas, Upnei Adam, now what were the two faces on the kruvim?
What? I didn't know there were only two kruvim.
No, not two, there were many.
Many.
Many, many sets.
The,
all over.
No,
I'm talking about design. I'm sorry, I didn't explain. In the Mishkan, besides the kruvim that sat on top of the Kodesh, on top of the Aron, they were in the curtains, the tapestries, and the Urias had the image of kruvim woven into them. The Parayches on the outside, all the various Urias that were made from cloth had the image of kruvim. Those kruvim, as far as we know, only had one panim, only one face, and there were no palm trees woven into the material. In the Bayis Shlishi, in addition, in the kruvim are going to have, each kruv has two images, two faces, and in between each kruv is going to be a palm tree. Pasuk Yutesin, for it says, "Upnei Adam el Hatimayra." It says here that the face of a man, el Hatimayra, will be facing the palm tree, mipo, from one side, upnei kefir, of a lion, it's a baby lion, el Hatimayra, mipo, on the other side, asui. So in other words, each kruv has just two faces. But to one side is the face of a man, and the other side is the face of a lion. So when you put, and they're consistent. So when you put the two kruvim next to each other, the two next to each other, and the palm tree in the middle, you'll notice is that the face of man is facing on one side, the face of the lion on the other side. Even though each one has its two faces. But being that they are all, the pattern is the same, we don't invert the pattern. We don't invert the pattern that it should be an Adam is facing an Adam or a Kruv is facing a Kruv. From the big picture of things, always going to be an Adam is facing a Kruv. Because it's always going to be the same. It's going to be the Kruv goes this way and the Adam goes this way. So on the other side, it's also going to be the Adam goes this way, the Kruv goes this way, and the Adam goes this way. It's going to be that the Kruv is going to be facing an Adam. So this go on with the pasuk. You test the pnei adam el hatimora, upmipoy upnei kfiel el hatimora, mipoy asui el kol habayis saviv. This image, this design, appeared etched into the wood, which was plated with gold along the entire inside of the heichal and the kodesh hakodashim and all the entire area. Okay, let's see the mitzvahs. These two pasuk together. Pasuk you test together the mitzvahs of it. Pasuk says. The also kruvim ala luchos ha'hem ha'yu docha chavuk tzuras kruvim v'timarim v'tzibur yuzav ha'yu bolid b'makom b'lidus ha'tzuras b'lidus. So it was etched into the wood, the image of kruvim and the image of palm trees, into the wood, and the gold was plated above v'shoykeya b'makom shikiyasan. So in certain parts it expanded, it was embossed, it came forward, it bulged out, and other parts of the design it was sunken into the plank. You would see when you walk into the ulam, the heichal kodesh hakodashim, you would see the image of the kruvim in three dimensions. It came out. A palm tree. Why dafka palm tree? It's very interesting. I don't have no idea what's this name of the palm. Tzadik hatoma yifrach. What's in this image of a palm tree? The palm also maybe it's David. In the Dalet Minim, who is the Lulav? The Lulav is David, right? The Eshrig is Yosef. The Hadassim are is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Aravos is Moshe of Yaron. The Lulav is David. And after all, who is the one that built the Beis HaMikdash? Who is the one that gets credit for the Beis HaMikdash? David. Bavur, David Avdecha, Alto Shep, Neim Shechecha. David was the one who discovered the Mokka and the Mokma Asher, David laid the foundation for the Beis Hamikdash. So maybe as a tribute to David, somehow there's some connection bedafka to the Tama. Ushnayim panim lekruv l'chol kruv hayeshnei panim ha'echad abnei adam ha'echad abnei akfir. Vahu adi bachur a kfir is a little lion. The kibi al kiatuna skufam hoya kishal adam. The body looked like a human being. Kiram kurim im ki hoyalam gampane kfir. We call the kur because we focus primarily on the human being. The body had the form of a human being, but there were two faces. Pasuk yitas upane adam. Hakruv mizeh hayapone pnei adam alatimara. Vakruv mizeh hayapone pnei akfir alatimara. Mizeh upane adam hayapone alatimara. Mizeh v'chein hayisel hayalech. Okay, so basically the same idea is that there was a kruvim with a tamar in the middle, and they faced each other. Asui batmuna hazos hoy asui b'chol abayis misav. This is the way it was all around all on all sides. Let's see Rashi Kasi Yudchas Yutas. The asui kruvim mitimoydim, the oisah ha'erez mitsuya kruvim udukolim, and these pieces of wood, it was etched into the wood kruvim udukolim. See, today it's no kunz. Today they do this all the time. You ever go to this, they're doing amazing stuff with computers. Today, you see, they go to shuls, they have these most magnificent, the Aron Kodesh. In many shuls today, it's done like this. They have machines, they do this in China. China, they have these machines, and they put a design into the computer, and the computer goes away and chisels away these magnificent things that years ago...
They don't chisel it, they make a silk screen and they power blast it.
Power blasted?
Yeah.
Whatever they do.
It looks like a piece of plastic. They put it against the stone.
Against, no, against the wood.
Wood.
The wood. They do it with wood today. Maybe stone also do it. They do it with stone also. They do stone. Okay. But they do this in China. Today, the average shul, Baruch Hashem, they have these magnificent designs on the Aron Kodesh out of wood. How in the world do they do this? How do they do this? It's not even so expensive. They have these machines, they have this new technology.
They use the same design for Reich's
social language. That's really a chachma. Yeah. And then they went, they custom made it also with a computer. Also with a computer. Right. You can take that, like, you go send them a logo, they make a tile stick, anything you want. How you go, you have a nice picture, you just send them a logo, and the computer will just automatically stitch it exactly what the image is. And with wood as well, and they do this, they do it very, very cheaply in China. I know two shuls that had it done. I know in Kensington, they had it done.
The best embroidery does it done.
They do all the stuff. But years ago, it was a big kunst. They didn't have this technology, so you can imagine they had people there sitting the whole day with chisels and very great chachma to etch into the wood a design of a kruv, and then they would plate it with gold. Ushnayim panim lekuv echa pnei kfir v'yacha pnei adam ze poinu l'kan ze poinu l'kan shohoysa hatimoyra mibein akruv lekuv hoi pnei kfir l'lo mikan pnei adam mikan k'mar shom b'inyan. There was a kfir, there was a palm tree in the center, and the palm tree was flanked on one side by a lion and on the other side by a human being. There were a total of four faces, two bodies, and one palm tree. What is all that about? I have no idea. Asui el kol abayis. This was done lebeis kodesh hakodesh. This was done everywhere inside. Now, healings over here, according to the Mitzudos, Rashi says the kodesh hakodesh, v'yikira heichel, v'chein l'kira heichel, in the kodesh hakodesh and in the heichel. It makes no mention that this was done in the ulam. The ulam, it seems, only the kodesh and the kodesh hakodesh were plated with gold. The ulam, the doorpost, it says, was plated with wood. And we learned in the Mitzudos was also gold, but does not say explicitly, as far as I recall reading from these psukim, that the ulam was also plated with gold and images of kiruvim. Okay, but now...
He said, b'chol ha'bayis misavim. Mitzudos said, b'chol ha'bayis misavim.
The bayis means the Rashi Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Mitzudos also says Mitzudos HaKadoshim.
No.
No, what does he say?
No. Also,
I don't know. Okay, whatever it is. Pasachov. Let's go further. Pasachov says mean the aris from the ground, ad which we learned before. Aris means from the low, from the bottom. It does not mean mamish the ground. It means from the low. Ad me ala pesach until above the pesach. Hakruvim. They were kruvim. Vatimayrim. And they were timayrim. Asuyim. Vikir. And along the wall, ha-hechol, and along the wall of hechol. So we have over here, from ground all the way to the top, we have the kruvim, the timurim, and the walls were also covered. And notice there are dots. You have the dots?
Yeah.
I over here five dots on top of the Heichal, and the Minhag HaShai says, interesting thing is that 15 times in Tanakh do we have a situation where there are dots on top of a word. Some of the more famous ones are HaNistoroi Slashem Elohim V'Neglos Lonu Ulvonenu Ad Olam Lonu Ulvonenu, and the Vav, there are dots. Ayei Sar Ishtecha, there are dots. Okay, Vayishakeyu, right? And Mechoy, another one. So the Minhag HaShai here says, it doesn't tell us where they are, but it's very interesting. Chad min Teslav Nikudo Sheba Mikra. 15 places in Tanakh do you have a situation where there are dots on top of the letters. What's the purpose of these dots? I don't know. It's every place you have a different drasha. Yeah. Chazal tells us what the darshin, whatever it means, I don't know, but just for whatever reason over here, for whatever reason, there are I didn't see anyone explain why this is so, but the Kruvim and the Tumim were along everywhere in all of these places. Let's go to them in the Pasuk of the Mitzudos. Chav me'aretz me'karka abayis v'yad ha'koysel ha'shel me'al ha'pesecho yasuyis tzuas ha'kruvim ha'tvimorim v'kir heichol v'chein ho'y b'chol v'kir heichol v'b'chol v'chol 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 v'chol. The repetition, the verbosity of these sukkim is coming to indicate that there was no location, there was no area inside the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that was void of the image of the Kruvim and the Timurim. This pattern reappeared thoroughly throughout. Rashi, we did already Rashi, we read the Rashi before. Okay. Pasuk of Aleph, a Heichal. No, it doesn't say. It does not give any. Does not say anything about. It's all speculation. It does not say how many. How was it tall? Was it struggling computers to make it small? You know, patterns. You know, design. Was it small? Was it large? Big mystery. Yes. No, it seems to be a pattern. I could pass around. There was a pattern. He has over here in the. He has here a picture. There was a pattern. I guess there was a pattern. You have. You can see it so clearly. He has his wings, the two kruvim. Each kruv has two faces, and in the center is a palm tree. So this pattern reappeared throughout the entire inside.
The next pair was separated with a palm
tree
or not?
Yes. No. Yes. Yes. It was.
So it could be a kruvim, a palm tree, kruvim, a palm tree.
Yeah, no, but the kruvim looked at each other. They looked at each other. It was a pattern. Obviously, there was some space in between each section.
Sure. Yeah, but then between that section was a palm tree or was that?
No, it was a palm tree. No, that section was empty. Yeah. That section was correct. Well, in between this and the next was empty. Yeah. That's what it seems. And this reappeared throughout the entire inside. Okay, now next pasuk, Hayechol Mezuzas. Now, I don't know what this means. This is also something very bizarre. You know, the more you learn, the more you think about it, the stranger it gets. And obviously, all of these pictures, all these images, and all these the Mefarshim, obviously, it's all speculation. And that's why this is so obscure. It's so hard to understand. This has not been studied that much. Ha heichal, with regard to the heichal, when you come to the heichal, mezuzas revuah, it had a square post. What does that mean? A square post, as opposed to what?
A rounded
post. Is that instead of having it was curved, modern high tech. It was flat. Square, everything in a perfect corner. Is that what it means? Obviously, but why mention it? The pasuk would not tell us this. We would think, of course. That's how you build doors. You build doors. Druba druba, they are, they are square. They are flat. Hahechol mezuzas rivuah. It was a square. There was no circles. There were no rounded edges. Ufnei hakodesh. Now here is a very difficult expression. Ufnei hakodesh hamare kamare. What does that mean? And in the inside of the Kodesh, the Mare, the image, was like the Mare, was like the image.
Maybe one mirror reflecting on another mirror.
Okay, you're having a whole new idea. You want to say the gold was a reflection one against the other. It was a continuous, infinite, you have a mirror, another mirror, you play that game. So what does that mean exactly? When you walk in, you should be able to see yourself. That's one of the very nice drushim with regard to the kiyar. The kiyar was made from the mirrors. The mirrors, the maras hatsoivas. Why? So one of the darshanim, one of the rishonim, it says, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you should see your, you should remember being there. And the way you remember being there is to take a selfie. It's not a joke. What's the makor of a selfie? It's the Mishkan, the Maris HaTzavos. When you come there, there's a mirror. When the Kohanim would wash their hands, they would see themselves against the backdrop of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's one thing to experience it, but there's another thing to have a picture you can take with you. So a person should see himself against the backdrop of the Beis HaMikdash, and that will serve as a memory to live a better life. Okay. You hang up in your house. Everyone hangs up their house. Gedolim. Why Gedolim? People are obsessed with Gedolim pictures. Every yeshiva, I have not come across a yeshiva katan in modern times where they don't have in the hallways, in the classrooms, Gedolim pictures. When I grew up, did you have in your yeshiva katan Gedolim pictures? Giant-sized Gedolim pictures? I don't think so, right? I don't think anyone in this room, when they grew up in Yeshiva Katana, had in their classroom giant-sized Gedolim pictures.
The first one that took pictures was Harry Trainer's studio.
Harry Trainer, yes.
Small picture. Though.
Trainer, yes. He was a very good photographer. He really had something to him. In his later years, he slowed down. What?
They started with the small ones.
Yeah.
The trading cards.
I challenge you to go to a Yeshiva Katana today, from modern Orthodox all the way to Haredi, where you will not find in the hallways giant-sized Gedolim pictures. You find a yeshiva that does not have Gedolim pictures in the hall, then we'll talk about it.
And in the sukkah.
What?
And in the
sukkah also. That's the most popular.
Complain. I don't have enough
Gedolim pictures. Okay, in the sukkah, that's very popular, very popular.
Why don't you put your picture
on there? We're putting your picture in there. We're putting your picture. Alright, so here it says there was the Hamare Kamare. So inside the Heichal they had Gedolim pictures. Right? Is that what it means? Inside the Kodesh HaKadosh they had Gedolim pictures. They had Moshe, a picture of Moshe, a picture of Aaron. That's not, obviously that's not what it means. Not pictures, images.
Images
of the lion, the eagle, the Nesher and Yaakov and Adam, Yaakov Avinu in Echanami. So that those were images. Those were actual.
I remember reading a story with the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Shapira, who were the founder of Daf Yomi, where he didn't want to go out from the train, and he said, "You're unlike even Yaakov," or it was a stipler, where he didn't want to go out, and he proved to him from that medrash that it's appropriate to have pictures taken with others.
Because Yaakov Avinu saw his own image on the Kis Yaakov. So, okay.
Huh?
Okay, I
go out of where?
He didn't want to go have pictures taken.
Avshlomo Zalman Auerbach.
That's a Zohar.
Avshlomo Zalman Auerbach. You know, today, in those days, that was the time when every yokel had a camera. Avshlomo Zalman Auerbach was an obsession. You come to Eretz Yisrael, the first thing you do is take a picture, picture. People do it also today, but not only as much. But picture, picture. So they come to visit Avshlomo Zalman Auerbach. Picture, picture, picture. He wants to even joke. He says, the first thing they're going to do when Mashiach comes is they're going to take a picture. Take a picture of Mashiach. Then he said once a Chol HaMoed, someone came to take a picture of him. So he said to him, Chol HaMoed, you take even a Chol HaMoed? So the photographer says, it's a Dover HaOvei, it's my Parnassa. I sell pictures, Gedolim pictures. So he said,
so he posed for
him. Okay, fine, if it's Taka your Parnassa, it's a Dover HaOvei. So he posed for him on Chol HaMoed. All right, let's go further. Ha-hei-chol, so this is a very interesting.
I know some gedolim. I remember they grew up big over the shul. They were very like chassidim. They used to go like this. They didn't want to.
Some of the chassidim shirabis were very against taking a picture. They held that if you take a picture, it takes away from your neshama. It has a spiritual effect. Not anymore today, but it takes away from your.
Steals your soul,
something along those lines. Whatever. Look, I think in our generation it was the most amazing thing that it was hidden away, that video of the Chafetz Chaim until recent times. Can you imagine, so how many years has it been hidden away? I don't know, it's been 90 years, 80 years. So isn't it amazing that like it was revealed, a video of the Chafetz Chaim? I don't think in my whole life I ever saw such a sensation in the yeshiva world, like those days, about when they discovered that video of the Chofetz Chaim. Where any shul you walked into, any beis medrash, any kol you walked into, did you see the video of the Chofetz Chaim? They actually, you know, in where I daven mincha, Rabbi Schmidman, so there the Rosh Kol, Rabbi Soloveitchik, you know, he's not exactly into technology. He's from a different generation. He's not exactly, he has a hard time using his cell phone. He's not exactly into smart. But they actually had to bring him, a computer into the Beis Medrash to show him. He wanted to see it so much. They actually brought in a tablet, they brought in something to show him the video. It was like such a sensation to see the tzur, the image of the Chofetz Chaim. It's really, really amazing. Mm-hmm. We're getting sidetracked. Pasuk Chavav in the Mitzvah, it's a very important pasuk. Pasuk Chavav over here says, and it says, Hahechol mezuzas revuah, mezuzas hahechol lohoisa gula. The post, the doorpost of the Hechel was not round. Now I'm assuming this means that it was not on the top round. Like today when you go to Eretz Yisrael, it was very popular to have a dome. There was no dome when you came into the area. Instead it was...
not the mezuzah, that's the mashal.
So you want to say it's the mashal, you want to say that it was the mezuzah, alright, maybe you're right, I don't know. So whatever it means over here that everything was entirely square from top to bottom. Hahechel lohoya gula ki im betunas ribua. The thickness was 6 amas. That was not the width. The width was 5 amos. From end to end was 5 amos. The opening, the area you had to enter was 5 amos. But the thickness of the wall was 6 amos. Everything was square. Okay, then it's Upnei HaKodesh. Now here we come to the very hard part of the pasuk, Upnei HaKodesh. Now what do these two words mean? The Pnei HaKodesh. The Mitzvah translates it to mean Ritzon Leimar. The Mitzvah says the words Ritzon Leimar, you right away know that this is a stop sign. He means, I have struggled to understand the simple translation of these words. And he comes forward and says, it means Pesach, the entranceway, to the Kodesh HaKodoshim, Raha, he saw, Yechezkel saw, Hamare, Shelah, the image inside was, Kamare, like the image I saw in Bavel, Asher Ro'ah, B'Pesach HaHechol. Okay, first he said, I'm sorry, like I saw in the Pesach HaHechol, V'Zeh B'Tmunas HaMezuzos, had the same Tmuna of the Mezuzos, of the posts, meaning, Shelah Hayu Agulim, Ki Im B'Tmunas Ribuah. Period. Let's stop there for one moment. So here he's saying over here that he's saying a very simple, mundane translation of these words. Is that I just described to you the entranceway to the Hechel. And I've told you that the posts, the doorposts, were square. Doesn't mean literally square because it was 5 amos wide and 6 amos thick.
Rectangular.
It just means there was nothing round. Everything had a sharp edge. There was nothing round. Now that's in regard to the entranceway into the Hechel. But what about the entranceway into the Kodesh HaKodashim? Maybe those posts were different. Maybe those posts were rounded. No. The Mare that I saw by the Pnei, the entranceway into the Kodesh, which is short for the Kodesh HaKodashim, Hamare, the image, was Kamare, was identical to the image of the entranceway into the Hechel. So it's nothing more than a very mundane translation of the words, nothing esoteric, nothing supernatural, just describing to us what exactly the posts of the Kodesh HaKodashim look like. It was very similar to the posts leading into the Hechel. Then he goes on to say something much more abstract, much more esoteric. Oh, it's Ritzono Weimar, Bifnim, Bachalal HaHechel, inside of the Hechel Nikra Kodesh. He is not describing it the Kodesh HaKadosh. He's saying the Pnei, which on the inside of the Kodesh here is the Hechel. Hamare, he ha-menoira. He's now describing the menoira. Now this is very fascinating. He's describing the menoira. This is the first time we're describing one of the utensils. We have not at any point until now described of the Kalim. We've only been describing so far the architecture, the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. And now, for the very first time, we're coming to describe the utensils that were used inside of the base, that will be used inside the Beis HaMikdash. And the first item on the list is the menorah. Hamare, hi hamenorah, hacholekes ora, which spreads light. L'chol habayis. It was kamar. What does that word mean? Ritzon lemar kiminoras hamaor shel adam, like the image of light of a human being shel kol adam shaynedes smucha el hashulchan. What does that mean? This is not something typical for the mitzvah to say something like this. It was like the light of every person that stands near el hashulchan. Ki kein amda hamenorah ha'hi smucha el hashulchan. I have no clue what he's saying over here. And this is something which is not to be expected from the Mesudas David, who's always very straightforward, very on the pshat. What is he saying over here? The mare of the menorah was like the mare of a human being. What does that mean? A human, there's these Kabbalistic type things, like Rav Shtrui, he's very into these things that a person is a menorah. You have two nostrils.
Like the light that every person, that each person has near the shulchan. It's not the person's the light.
He's saying that just like when a human being sits down to eat.
Each person has a light next to the shulchan.
Ah, that's what it means. Kamaor means, but it's okay. I hear you saying it. I made a mistake. It means like just like a person, you sit down at your dining room table, you turn on the lights. You don't eat in the dark. And for that reason, we light candles Friday night. Shalom bayis. You should see what you are eating. So just like when a person sits down to the table to eat, there's always going to be light, so too, the ma'or, the menorah, was for the purpose of giving light to the shulchan, to cast its light on the shulchan. And indeed, this is what we learn in the Torah, especially according to the Rashbam. What is the pasuk in the Mahalos Chesaneros? El mul Pnei ha-menorah yo'iru shivas ha-nerois. What does Rashi say on that pasuk? Rashi says that the six candles shall face the center. What is the major difficulty in this Rashi, which all the commentators jump upon, is that if that's really what the pasuk means, it should say, el-mul pnei ha-menorah yo'iru sheshes ha-nerois. If the pasuk really means that the six candles on the sod are facing the center, it should not say, Shivas Haneros. Rashi says, Yavimunot has seven branches. So, Behalois Ches Haneros, when you light the Neros, El Mol Pnei HaMenorah. Aaron, when you light the menorah, make sure the wicks are tilted, or you bend the lamps of the menorah towards the center, the panim towards the center. Yeiru, it shall cast light. How would you conclude the pasuk according to Rashi? Sheshes Haneros. Because the seventh candle is the one that's in the center. Yet Rashi says, Yiru Shiva Saneiro. So this is a basic difficulty in Rashi, on the first pasuk of Parash Baha'u Ischa, which all the commentators are troubled with. The Rashbam gives the simplest, most beautiful translation of the pasuk, and it says, Baha'u Ischa Saneiros, El Mul, which direction should you put the menorah? El Mul, the ponim, the front of the menorah, which is where the shulchan is. El mul, opposite the pnei hamenorah, yoiru shivas haneros, shall the light be cast. The primary purpose of the menorah is to give light to the lechem aponim. What's the purpose of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? Is it to illuminate the entire Mishkan? No, not necessarily. Who says six little neros would be enough to illuminate this very large room? The primary purpose of the Neros, according to the Rashbam and according to many of the commentators, is to illuminate the Lechem HaPonim. The Lechem HaPonim should never be dark. The Lechem HaPonim should always be illuminated. And the menorah, that's why the menorah was right opposite the Shulchan. El Mul Pnei HaMenorah. Opposite the front of the menorah, which is right near the lechem aponim, yoiru shivas haneros. So here the Mitsudos appears to be drawing from that idea that is found explicitly in the Rashbam, and is saying that that's what the pasuk over here means. Ufnei hakodesh, when you come into the kodesh, into the heichal, and you see in front of you the menorah and the shulchan, you will see hamare, the menorah that is casting light. It's kamare. It's just like the light that the average person has in his home. Why do you, when you're in your home, what do you have light primarily for? To eat. you should enjoy the food. If you see the food, you will enjoy the food. That is how he appears to be learning pshat in the pasuk. What is amazing about this interpretation is he's over here using this one word, hamara, as a code word for the menorah. Let's see Rashi. Rashi disagrees. Rashi first says, mezuzas revuah. What does this mean? I told you we started with this very bizarre. A mezuzah, that is square or rectangular. So Rashi obviously is very disturbed, and that's why he has to say, ani shamati. There is no simple translation to these words. I need to come on to tradition. Bebinyan Shlomo, mezuzas revuah, shohoyula mezuzos mishneit stodin. They were square, there were posts on the two sides. Umifton, it was a threshold. Mitachas, umashkef mimal. I think what I told you before is that, like I told you, it's not a dome. Even though Rav Nechemya correctly pointed out the word mezuzah normally refers to the side post, not to the mashkoif, Rashi seems to be saying in this context it means that it was not circular on top, it was an oval, it was a square, it was a flat bottom, the sides were vertical, and the top was 100% horizontal, there was no dome. That's what the pasuk means according to Rashi, but again, not according to the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos seems to be saying more of that they would know it was not rounded. It was hard corners. Vani oimer. Then he goes on to say, Shaham mezuzos hayu mirubaos, that the posts were square. Whatever that means. Something very similar to the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos pointed out that it can't be perfectly square, because if the thickness of the wall is 6 and the length is 5, the length is 5, which means on the sides, I guess, or on the inside. The length is 5, whatever that means exactly. So 6 and 5, make the calculations. I don't know the calculations, not for now. Yeah. But whatever it means, it's not perfectly square, so it means it's close enough.
The width and the height?
The height was the height we learned before, the height was 10, I think. Was 10.
The entranceway was 10?
The entranceway, the height was 10. The entranceway, I think, was 7, it said. Inside was 7, and the sides were 5. I don't remember all the cheshbonos. Whatever they were. Whatever, let's do it for now. Now, come to the next part. Hamare kamare. Tirgim Yonah's son. Whole new interpretation. Now, with third interpretation. Chezvei kichezu yikara. What does that mean? Those are the words of Targum which are very obscure. Rashi gives a perish for the Targum. Kamare kisei chavoid shero'isi Bamer Kava al Nahar Kvar. I looked inside and it glowed. The Hegel had a glow, a spiritual glow that was identical to the glow of Kedusha I witnessed when I was on the Har Kvar in Bavel, and the Shechina, I saw the Merkava. Going back to Perek Aleph, Pasek Aleph, the very beginning of Sefer Yecheskel, the Haftarah for the Shavuos, the first day of Shavuos, Yecheskel saw the Merkava. He saw the glow, he saw the Shechina. The Shechina that I saw in Bavel is identical to what I saw in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Kimare Akisi HaKavah Shoisi B'merkava Al-Har Me'akvar or Noiga, there was the brilliant light. Re'isi B'beis Kodesh HaKodashim. So he's learning here too, that when his Kodesh refers to the Kodesh HaKodashim, not to the Heichel, not like the Mitzvah that says Kodesh refers to the Heichel in the second interpretation, but rather Kodesh HaKodashim. And the Mare was identical to the Mare that I saw in Bavel. And that is a very great Nechama for us. Because that goes to show that in Golos, when Klal Yisrael was in Golos, so we think that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore. The Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. So in Golos, when Yechezkel was in Golos in Bavel, Nahar Kvar, the Shechina he witnessed, the Merkava, identical, no difference to what exists, will exist in the time of the Bayis Shlishi. The Shechina is amongst us. The Shechina is among us. There is no difference. You just have to see it. You have to be zeichet to witness the Shechina.
You actually sense it.
Whatever it means, whatever, who knows, I don't know, don't ask me. I don't see it, I don't sense it, whatever it means.
Yeah.
But that's a very powerful idea. Now, it's also very remarkable, and this he points out here in this Sefer, is according to the Rashi, there is no mention, we're not learning Mara to refer to the menorah. So that opens up a new question. So where then is the menorah? We're going to learn soon about the Mizbeach. We learn soon about the Shulchan. We learn about the Arayin, and there's no mention of the Menorah. How could that be? According to Rashi, the way he learns the Pesukim from beginning to end in the entire Sefer Yecheskel, there is no mention of the menorah in the Bayis Shlishi. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
How could that possibly be? That's a topic of discussion. Where else do you have that topic of discussion? Once discussed this in the Kinois. This is very interesting in Titois. One of the Kinois in Tisha B'Av describes a historical record of what Titois did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It says when he came into the Heichal, he defiled the Lechem HaPonim. He came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he stabbed the Paroiches. Now Titois was the Bayish and there was no Orain. How come in that record of Titois coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, coming into the Heichal and defiling, it says he came in, he contaminated the Lechem HaPonim. He then went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he took a knife and he stabbed the Paroiches from within, it seems. From within, blood came out. And he did an Aver in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If this Kina record is already telling us that he went in and he passed where the Lechem HaPonim is, what's on the other side? The menorah. What do we have today on record? The only record of the Churban Beis HaMikdash in the secular world? The Arch of Titus. And what's on the Arch of Titus? The menorah. So in the secular world, the only Zecher is the Arch of Titus. And in the Kina, which is sacred to us, we go out of our way to say, he came into that corridor, he defiled the Lechem HaPonim, came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but he's right where the menorah is. Doesn't make any mention of the menorah. How come the menorah disappeared? How come the menorah is not mentioned? It's not mentioned in the Kina, and it's not mentioned in the entire Binyan Bayis Shlishi.
But he took it.
Isn't
the Gemara talking about when they sent in somebody who brought out the menorah?
Right, right.
Was that the Bayis Rishon or the Bayis Sheni?
No, it was the Romans who did it.
The Romans? Okay, but that does not mean he took out the menorah mamish. No, it doesn't mean necessarily he took out mamish the menorah. He took out a candelabra. There are a lot of candelabras. That's a discussion. Is that a record of the menorah?
A different
menorah. That's all the historians discuss because there's no the bottom. The base does not conform to our halacha. So these are two mysteries I leave you with. There's no mention of the menorah in the Kinois, even though Titus. I mean, that's what he took with. That's the whole Arch of Titus. And there's no mention of the menorah in the Bayis Shlishi, according to Rashi. What has happened? What's going on over here? So the answer they like to give is that Eino Chanami, the menorah never went anywhere. What does the menorah represent? Eidus Shehashchina Shoreh B'Yisrael. The Shechinah Shoreh B'Yisrael in times of Galus, even more so than the Shoreh in time. The fact that we're still here to talk about it is the greatest proof. Melamed Shechinah Shoreh B'Yisrael. Yechezel is talking about new things. The menorah, it's the same menorah, nothing changed. There's no need to describe, to discuss. And Titus took the menorah. He took nothing. The Arch of Titus is the biggest lie in the world. The biggest lie, the biggest fake news of the whole world. He may have on display the menorah. He conquered, he got us. He got the menorah, he got us. What is the menorah? Melamed, they put enough oil to last for 12 hours and it never went out. And the Chazal say, the Ner HaMarovi, Melamed Shehashchina Shoreh B'Yisrael. He never took that away. He never conquered. It's the biggest lie in history. It never went anywhere, the menorah. There's no need for Yechezkel to mention the menorah. The menorah was there from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the same menorah. We're discussing upgrades. Upgrades. New furniture. New architecture. The old stuff. That remains the same. We don't have to talk about that. It remains the same. Okay, tomorrow we talk about the Mizbeach. Pasuk HaBeis will be the Mizbeach and the Shulchan.
Famous Pasuk, right?